All right, let's come back together. All right. Let's pray. And so I want to make something clear. I don't pray out of some kind of religious duty or obligation. This is for me. It may not be for you, but I need to pray before I speak because I want His words and not mine. And you need to hear from Him more than you need to hear from me. So, Father, we thank You for Your glorious presence, Lord. We thank You, God, that You desire amazing and great things, Lord. And we often get in the way of those things. And so, Lord, we just make a choice right now to push away and aside all of our own agendas, thoughts, ideas, and step into what You desire to speak to us, what You desire to reveal to us, and what You're saying today. Father, open our ears to hear clearly. And Lord, I just pray that today our lives would be forever changed. Thank You, Lord. Mark us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, there's a lot of people gone. Everybody tired or what? Sheesh. I know it. So, you guys doing well? You guys awake? All right. Did you guys have a good Christmas? Good, good. I was thinking, I don't know who I should put on the spot, but I was trying to figure out one of these teenagers. Andrew, just because you were looking around for somebody else. I'd really like to know what, is your mom and dad in here? Oh, they're gone. You're good. What was the favorite thing you got for Christmas? Loud and Proud.
My Dremel tool set.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. I was just curious. I'm glad you didn't give me like a religious answer. Like I was good just to have my heart full of Jesus, right? I mean, that would have been a great answer, but thank you for being real. I was just scared. Don't worry, I'm not going to put anybody else on the spot. I'd like to, but I thought about putting my wife on the spot, but chose not to. Me, hello, me, I'm your favorite thing you got for Christmas. Sheesh. Okay. At some point, we are going to go to Matthew 6. I want to continue down the road of what the Lord has been sharing with us in regard to the Lord's Prayer. And but before I do that, it's really difficult in as we move into a new year in our calendar, I feel prophetic stirring that begins to happen in me. And so I have one decree I feel. I heard this in prayer this morning, and it was a very simple word I heard, and it was this. I heard the word 20 to 1. So 2021, but I heard it 20 to 1. And then I heard the Lord say to me, and I think you should grab a hold of this as well, everything the enemy has stolen, for every one thing, 20 has to be repaid. I recognize what the Bible says about sevenfold, but I heard when I was down here in worship, every dollar, $20. Every minute, 20 minutes. Every, you know, thought that was taken, every relationship that was taken, everything that was taken, I believe a 20-fold return will come about. And I'm just decreeing and declaring that over my life. I think you should grab that for you as well. So
Yeah. Okay, really quick recap. I'm not going to go too far down this road, but we all know for the most part, I think we know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. For probably the last 2 weeks, have been sharing a bit on this, and so you can maybe remember, I believe that what you hallow, what you acknowledge, what you render, what you think about in secret, you manifest in public. And I'll give you an example of this in your Bible to make it legal. John chapter 17, verse 6, Jesus said this, "Father, I have manifested your name." And so let me just pull at that for a second here. In Hebrew or Hebraic covenant, to manifest somebody's name meant that you manifested, or you, to try to not use such a churchy word, you displayed everything of who they were. So in other words, let me put it this way. Hope and I are making a covenant, yes. And she actually takes my name and I take her name. Everything that is about her, I get. Everything that's about me, she gets. So you have to make sure that you're making covenant with a person who you know all that you can possibly know about. Because if you're $500,000 in debt, so am I now. Because we made covenant. Because everything that you are, everything you owe, every enemy you have, every friend you have, every family member you have, everything that is making up who you are is now mine. And everything that makes up who I am is now yours. So I got the better end of the deal. You got the raw end of the deal. Because I get all your stuff. Okay. So Jesus, by saying this, "I have manifested your name," meant this. He had to manifest healing. He had to manifest provision. He had to manifest shepherding. He had to manifest peace. He had to manifest, hope, yeah. Everything, like we all know, well, that's a big statement. A lot of us know, or maybe you've heard of, maybe you've studied the names of God. You guys know the names of God? You don't need to shout them out for me, but a lot of you do. Some of you are like, God? names? Like, right? Teenagers, you guys ever heard the names of God? Like Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Rapha, I figured you had, but I know your parents. whatever. Yeah, I know, right? You wake up, all right, what's the name of God? We used to have banners that hung in here that had most of the names of God. And we've done teachings on the names of God. But for me personally, God is bringing greater understanding and greater revelation to me about what those names entail and why they're important to me. It's not just about like Jehovah Rapha. Anybody know what Jehovah Rapha means? God who heals, or the God who heals you. It's more than just God can do this. It's the essence of who he is. Like he is healer. He's not just can heal. It's like if he's a part of you, healing is a part of you. Do you understand? Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. He's not just someone who can give you money. He's someone who brings provision in every situation. The supply that you need is inside of God. Now watch this. In Genesis chapter 17, God comes to Abraham. And this is where we first see the covenant of God and Abraham coming about. And God reveals himself to Abraham this way. This is around, I think it's the very beginning, verse 1. But we see that God shows up to, at the time, his name was Abram. And he shows up to Abram and he says, I am El Shaddai, which is also a name of God, which means God Almighty, or God who has all might. Or it could be translated lots of different things, but it's literally God Almighty. So he said this. Here it is. Abram at the time. Abram is 99 years old. You should read this story sometime. Read all of Genesis 17. It gets crazy. So Abram is 99 years old. God shows up to him and he says, hey, I'm God and my name is God Almighty and I want to make covenant with you. Anybody know who Abram was before this? Abram was a rich sun god worshiper in the region of Ur. He lived in Ur. With idols, yeah. Now there's a problem if you worship the sun. Sun goes down. So, like, you know, then you got the moon. And we know the sun doesn't actually go down, the sun, anyway. But we call it sunset, sunrise. So during the day, they would worship the sun. During the night, they would worship the moon, right? Problem is, which one's more powerful? The sun, probably, because it's hotter, it brings more light. I mean, that's kind of the idea. So God shows up to Abram and says, hey, I'm God. Abram goes, which God? I'm the God who has all might. Oh, okay. I want to make covenant with you. Okay. And he tells him this. And I want you to go somewhere. Where am I going, God? I'll tell you when you get there. Anybody know how many miles Abram walked? Roughly.
2,000.
Yeah. And I'm sure his wife was on board. Like, yay, this is awesome. Abram, where are we going? Oh, no. It's going to be great. Land flowing with milk and honey. Like that we can eat. Oh, yeah, it'll be great. Right, God? Anyway. So, Abram, 99 years old, I'm taking you to a land, want you to walk, not going to tell you where you're going to go. Oh, by the way, I need you to pick up that rock over there and circumcise yourself. And their conversation continued, like, better man than me. Anyway, 99 years old, Abram, nobody laughed. Gee whiz, you guys are way too serious today. Abram, 99 years old, makes his covenant with God. Now, again, in order to make covenant, you have to kind of know something about who you're making covenant with. And the only thing at this point that God really reveals about himself is, I am the God above all gods. I'm the Almighty, the best God ever. Do you understand? Okay. And so then he tells Abram this, I'm also going to change your name. He changes his name from Abram to Abraham. I think I've taught this here before, but anybody have any idea why he called him Abraham? Like, why not Abra Spam or Abra Lincoln or, you know, Abraham? Why Abraham? Anybody know where he was taking Abram? What was the land? What was the promised land? What was the name of it? Anybody? Canaan, right? That's okay. I know when you're sitting there in your seat, you're like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Judah? I don't know. It was Canaan. Do you guys remember Genesis chapter 6? Noah, Ark. Ark lands. Noah had some kids that one of them did some dumb things. Noah looked at one of his kids named Ham and said, cursed be Canaan because of you. God brought a name change to Abram, to Abraham, because he was restoring back the curse of Ham so he could restore the curse of Canaan and make what was cursed into a promise. It's actually a picture of what us, what we've been through, what we've done, the restoration of us being a cursed people to being a blessed and promised people.
Wow, Zach, that's amazing, man. I don't think I've ever heard that before. Yikes. Tough crowd. Sheesh.
Okay, I'm gonna take you somewhere real quick just to bring a little more light to this. Go to Exodus chapter 6. This one I want to actually do in the New Living Translation. And the only reason that I want to do it out of the New Living is they actually put in the names of God in here, which I liked. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2, it says this. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am Yahweh the Lord. Verse 3. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as El Shaddai, God Almighty. But I did not reveal my name, Yahweh, to them. Verse 4, last one. And I reaffirmed my covenant with them under its terms. I promised to give them the land of Canaan, where they were living as foreigners. Okay, here's why this is important. Between Abraham and Moses was more than 500 years. So for more than 500 years, a people had a covenant with God that all they really understood about him was he was the God who had all might. Now, I already hear some questions like, well, what about where God revealed himself to Abraham as the Lord who provides, because he brought. It was an understanding that they had. They just hadn't made covenant with the God, Yahweh. They made a covenant with God Almighty. So this is why any of this matters to you. Inside of covenant, remember I was talking about my covenant with hope. Everything, as your understanding of a person expands, so does the covenant expand with that understanding. So everything that's involved in the name that's being revealed to you is something I actually have access to. Okay, watch. Matthew, this has always been a really difficult verse for me, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach this verse that I can think of. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Jesus said this. He just did the Beatitudes. He's talking about how we need to behave, how we need to act. In verse 48, he says something that makes you go, what? He says this, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Anybody doing that today? How? We are, but and I believe that. But here's the thing. We don't understand perfect. Perfect is not like I do everything just right. It speaks of fullness and maturity. It speaks of completion. It speaks of literally learning how to operate in all things that are available in the name that I made covenant with, grabbing a hold of those things because I have become aware, I've acknowledged, I've understood the name of the one who I made covenant with, and the one who I made covenant with brings a supply in that name, in the environment of the name. He makes all things available to me that are in that name. Do you understand? So the way that I become perfect is not by trying to do better. It's by understanding who I'm in covenant with and what that releases to my life. I'm going to tell you again, I want to read the prayer to you the way that Jesus said it. Our supply, who's as close as the air that I breathe. Another way for saying, our Father who's in heaven. the one who has all supply, the one who has everything available, who's as close to me as the very air that I breathe, hallowed be your name. I stop and acknowledge, render understanding. I take account and separate myself from my own self-serving, and I recognize you for who you are. Watch why this is important. Two things you need to understand about this. A Hebrew is taught never to say anything that you don't already have built inside of you as something that is truth inside you. Don't pray it, don't say it, don't just speak idle words. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, I think it's verse 45, it says, you will be judged for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. That's what that means. Unless it's built inside of you as a truth, don't even release it. Don't let things come out of your mouth flippantly like, oh yeah, you know, God's my healer. But you really don't believe that. You really don't understand that. I'm not saying that you get the full picture of it totally. I'm just saying it's not really built inside of you. That's an idle word. Do you know that using the Lord's name in vain is not cussing? It can be. But using the Lord's name in vain is flippantly throwing it around. Yeah, I'm his child, I'm his kid. But you really don't have that locked in. You really don't. It's just sort of, you're sort of throwing it out there. Like, it would be like me taking your name and saying, I'm a blessing. So, their name's Blessing, by the way. But I'm a blessing, and so I could sign a contract for your name because I'm a blessing. But I really couldn't because I'm not. Do you catch what I'm saying? So don't let any idle word come out of your mouth. Let it be built inwardly inside of you, because what you build inwardly in the secret place, you manifest publicly. Luke chapter 6, Jesus talks about this. He says, out of the good stored up in a man's heart, or the treasure of his heart, he begins to speak. Out of the evil stored up in a man's heart, he speaks evil. He says that, he goes on to say this, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we build in secret in our heart, we ultimately will manifest publicly. If you remain self-aware all the time without becoming God-aware, you manifest yourself in public. Watch how this matters. If I recognize I'm guilty all the time, I will manifest guilt publicly. If I recognize my own anger in secret, in other words, I'm so angry all the time. I'm just a dirt ball. I can't get over being mad. I'm just, man, I can't stand this. God, even prayer. God, I just don't want to be angry. I'm angry all the time, and I don't know what I'm not God aware. I'm self aware, and what I'm self aware of, I will manifest publicly. What I'm self aware of in secret. I'm not saying we should pretend like we don't have problems. Not saying we shouldn't admit that we have issues. But we're supposed to push those issues to his feet and say, I don't want this to be a part of me. I'm going to make myself fully aware of all that's available in you. And I'm going to let that manifest in my life. This is why Jesus said, John chapter 17, verse 6, I have manifested your name. Do you remember when he's in the garden? God, I don't want to do this, but not my will, your will be done. Right? I'm not going to sit here and become self-aware of everything I'm about to go through, but for right? The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Hello, Isaiah. So he found himself becoming God or Father aware constantly. This is why you read over and over and over, Jesus separated himself and went off to a quiet place so that he could remain God aware and not aware of all this stuff going on. I need to manifest healing today, so I'm going to make myself aware of healing. This is how you pray without ceasing. It's continually being God aware. Where that healing comes from, it's not because I am a healer, it's because I serve the one who has all supply available. And I'm in that name, and I'm praying in that name outwardly because I'm manifesting publicly what is built inside of me in secret. If we run around and we're constantly second-guessing, you know, this is why I struggle with this whole idea of praying, God, if it be your will, let this happen. We know the will of God. We may not understand it all. We may not be able to verbalize all of those things, but we do know this. We know that God's desire is that none should perish. We do know that God's desire is that his entire essence, his character, healing is inside of that. And if that's inside of him, why would he not want people healed? Why they don't get healed, I don't know all the time. You know, I think it's silly. I think it's madness to try to figure that out. But to stop and start taking, you know, account for why these people aren't being healed is actually becoming self-aware. They didn't get healed because I didn't pray right. They didn't get healed because I didn't anoint them with oil. They didn't get prayed because, you know, so-and-so wasn't in faith. They didn't get prayed because they didn't have faith. They didn't get, you know, healed because I didn't get prayed. They didn't get healed because of this. They didn't get healed because of that. We become aware of everything but the one who brings the healing. It's no wonder we're not seeing the things we need to be seeing. We start looking, and I've probably beat this up a little bit too much, but I'm going to beat it up a little bit more. We look to elected officials. We look to a presidential election thinking it's going to fix things. I am not Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anyone else aware. I'm God aware. He's the one who can fix it all. He's the one who brings peace. He's the one who, instead of looking at how bad things like Antifa or BLM or anything else out there that we see these different riots and things going on, instead of pointing our fingers at that, we need to make ourselves God aware and release. Listen, get this, please, please, please. If we become God aware to the point that it's actually built inside of us, we can literally release out of our mouths atmospheric change, environmental change. Watch. I believe that the name of God is actually an environment. And here's what I mean. Like, again, going back to the prayer, hallowing the name is becoming aware of the environment of God. God is much bigger than like, you know. How many of you, when you think about the Father, oftentimes, without even realizing it, your thought goes to like a old white guy on a throne with a beard and, you know, like Zeus. Unfortunately, that's kind of what, it's kind of like thinking about, when we think about Satan, we think about this ghoulish creature, you know, because we've seen paintings or pictures of things, people's rendering. And so when we think about God, we think about a person or even a man, a being, whatever. But God is so much bigger than what we can fully grasp or understand. God is bigger than the earth, than it's so hard for our finite minds to understand something that is infinite. He's beyond understanding. He's beyond knowing. He's beyond our comprehension. And so to try and figure that out and go, if I just could see, and this is what the disciples struggled with, if you just show us the Father, we'll believe. Jesus is like, guys, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Is it because Jesus looked just like the Father? Or is it because he manifested all the characteristics and all the essence of who the Father was through his life? I personally believe this, and you can call me crazy if you like, but I personally believe that there is no real, like the disciples never described the physical appearance of Jesus, because we'd have a bunch of people in churches trying to dress like, look like, act like, well, not I should act like, but we would try to image forth Jesus in a physical manner instead of understanding that it is literally the thing that we're carrying. Do you know when Peter is walking down the road and it says that his shadow healed a man? Do you guys know this scripture? Do you know that that wasn't actually like shadow? Like, get this guy just in the right spot so as Peter walks by the sun, but what if he walks by on this side? Well, just, you know, we'll slide him. It wasn't about, it actually is the word, and this is hard for some people, but it is the word aura. I know, right? Be careful now. It is literally the... It was a presence. It was the environment, the atmospheric environment that he was carrying that passed by people, and they didn't know. If you look the word shadow up, it is what it translates out to be. It is aura. Because how else do you describe, like, his essence, his, you know, like, what do you say? So it was the place where he, like, I'm trying to describe this in a different way. Like, he walked by and suddenly where he was, there was healing. So it was like being in the shadow, but it wasn't like the sun was there. It was just whatever. He didn't touch him. He didn't do anything. He just walked by and it was like this. And the guy was healed, and I don't know how else to describe except it was his shadow. It's kind of like being in the shadow of the wings, shadow of the Almighty. It's not about like trying to position yourself in such a way that it casts the shadow on you. It's about being in the aura, being in the presence, being in the environment of the one who can shift it all. This is what Jesus was trying to get people, his disciples, the apostles, to get was it's, first of all, you must make the Father personal. He's got to be yours. He's not just Israel's Father. He's your Father, which was heresy. To be completely honest, that would have been like, you are overstepped. You can't say that. It's wrong. That's why oftentimes when you hear people like things that I'm saying, aura, that's New Age. Says who? If you want to give it to them, that's your business. That's like giving the rainbow away and going, that's a symbol for, that's a symbol for promise. Right? I mean, let's stop freaking out over little terminology things. I'm not trying to make us into New Age weirdness. I'm saying that it was God's first. I ain't giving it to somebody else. So the understanding of these things, though, especially in Bible times, in the Eastern culture and in Hebraic culture, they understood these things differently than you and I understand them to be. And then, like I said, trying to describe them. It's like trying to read the book of Revelation and trying to get these pictures in your mind of something that someone who in the first century was describing something that they didn't know what they were seeing and going, yeah, it must have been this, it must have been that. Quit trying.
like as far as trying to figure all that out, figure out who he is. Worry about that. That's really where you need to be. You need to be in the position of figuring out who he is and allowing the understanding of who he is to translate everything else. If we translate the Bible outside of the understanding of the one who it's written about, we miss the whole translation, period. All of it. This is why, I'm really careful what I read. I'm really careful what I allow to go in here. But I also am not afraid of, reading things that many of you may not read, and I'm not trying to say anything except that I've understood that what I allow to be built in here is what's important. It's not about what I might... Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not off reading the Quran and going, man, this is great reading right here. Not what I'm saying. I've learned the value in understanding, especially when I'm reading the Bible and I'm trying to understand the mindset that someone who would have been writing the Bible would have been trying to describe and talk from the position of a Jew talking to a Jew. Or in some cases, Jews talking to Gentiles, whatever. Letters coming from Paul, realizing he's sitting in jail for a good portion of what he's writing. Like, let me give you this picture. Do you remember when Jesus comes and declares himself as Messiah? And it actually says that there was a cliff nearby and they were going to throw him off the cliff. And Jesus just walked through the cliff. It's like he just disappeared, walked through the crowd. Do you know that that was a common practice? Here's what the common practice was. A person who spoke heresy, which is what they considered what he spoke, was stoned in this manner. They would find about a 15-foot cliff, and they would throw a person off that cliff, hoping they would die on their way down, bouncing off rocks and whatnot. And once they landed on the ground, if they weren't dead, then you began to take stones and throw them down the hill at them until they were dead. Do you know that Paul went through that at least 3 times? That very thing. I said at least 3. It might have been 5. I can't remember exactly. But, the man was whipped. And he was beaten with rods repeatedly. Do you know that there was certain parts of the country that they had limits of how much they could beat people? In some of the places where Paul was beaten, they had no limits. It was until they were dead or close to it. You can take them to the brink of death. That's why they would say 40 minus 1, because they figured that was about the killing point. But there was other places where they had no limits. You beat them. These guys that beat these guys were so practiced that they knew exactly what they were looking for in the respirations, in the how they slumped, how they, the blood, the different things, that they could take them to the brink of death and go, they're done, don't touch them again. If you hit them one more time, they're going to die. Just leave them now. They're good. They'll carry those scars forever. Paul went through that over and over and over and over. And do you know what he carried? The presence of God. Do you know what he understood? The essence of God. And we think we're going to run around this world unscathed. And we think we're going to have no trouble. And we think, all things are going to be good. No, it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all things work for the good of those who are, right, called according to his purpose. Not all things will feel really good. I wish it was like that. I wish it was that simple. But the only way that you maintain inside this is coming to grips with the understanding of who the one I serve is and what he fully released to me. This is what is going on inside of places like China and these things. The people that are in the underground churches in China and India and some of these places are experiencing things because they have no other option but to believe that the one they read about, everything that you read, is true. and it's not just like, yeah, I like this part and I like that part and I don't really want to deal with that and I don't like that and this whole commandment stuff and I don't know, I don't care, I don't want that, I don't want this. Money? Sure. Yeah, I'll give money so I can get money. I'll do this, I'll do that so that I can get all this stuff. That is never what Jesus was saying. Become aware of this. Stop and become fully aware of the one who has all the supply that I need right there, right now. Quit looking at your circumstance. Quit looking at all your woes and nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to eat some worms, all that stuff. Don't look at it, you know. That's where we get when we swirl and we get trapped in this stuff and we don't know how to break free from how do you break your mind free from something that you know you feel? That's a real problem. I know what I'm looking at, and I know what I feel. I know what God says, but I don't know how to get myself from here to here. So is it, like, how do I do that? Am I supposed to just go, it's not real, it's not real, it's not real, it's not, oh, there you are, okay, that's real, it's real, it's, no, that's foolish. It's really a matter of going, I understand where I'm at, and I know that I'm going through these things, and they're real. And Lord, I acknowledge the fact that you're God over all of this. And I'm going to take these thoughts captive, and I'm going to push them to your feet, and I'm going to begin to turn all of my affection and my attention on you. We sang a song a little while ago, and we said, as we turn our eyes to Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, the things of earth become strangely dim in the light of his glory. Right? It's like trying to not forget about these things, but to remember this thing. And as you remember this thing, the more God becomes bigger and real in your life and the understanding of the essence of who he is, the more all these other things begin to submit underneath. This is why God said, I have given to you, Jesus, the name that is above every name. He's above poverty. He's above hardship. He's above unemployment. He's above COVID, he's above cancer, he's above all these things. But the moment we begin to focus on these, we just pushed him down and put that thing above his name. So again, not taking away from the fact that these are real. And I recognize the difficulty that I'm talking. I do. I recognize that it's not some simple thing you do. Like, oh, you just, whatever. Yeah, I got cancer, so what? Big deal. He's God. I wish it was that simple. But the more you build in here about the truth of who he is, the revelation and the understanding that it becomes built in the secret place of your heart, the easier that is to allow that to be the thing that is manifested if and when you get some kind of bad news or some kind of negative report or someone else around you gets a negative report. Yeah, but God. Yeah, but God. I don't know how many times my wife has said things to me like this. I'm complaining about something. This or that happened and this is going to be really hard or this is bad or blah. And she'll go, it's a good thing that God's in control, or it's a good thing that that's not God, or it's a good thing that, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know what? You're right. I am allowing this thing to overtake. Do we still struggle? Do we? Yes, of course. But we're learning more and more how to put him right back positionally because I'm focusing on this
in here and allowing that to be built. That way, before I ever speak, it's already there. It changes your prayer life. Your prayer life changes from, oh God, I really need your help. Oh God, this is broken. Oh God, this needs to be fixed. Oh God, to thank you, Lord, that you're the provider of all things. Thank you, God, that you heal all my diseases, all my sickness, all my brokenness. Thank you, Lord, that I recognize all the essence of who you are and begin, right? So when I need healing, I can call on the healer. When I need provision, I can call on the provider. When I need someone to go to battle for me, I know that he's my banner. I know that he is the one who will go out and conquer. I know that he's given me all these things, but it's more than me just saying them flippantly. We learned a lot of this, especially as Pentecostals, charismatic people. We learned to just war with your mouth, speak these things forth, and that's great and that's good, and there's nothing wrong with that, except that it's got to be built in here first. Because if it's not built in here, I mean, it is. It really becomes words. In Proverbs 23:7, it says, as a man thinks, or as a man believes in his heart, so is he. So no matter what you say out of your mouth, if it's not built in here, whatever is built in here is really who you are. And if you read that whole scripture, the Proverbs 23, for like context, it's actually talking about a stingy miser who's giving you some like food or whatever, but all the while he's thinking about how much that costs, and I can't believe he's gonna eat another one. Oh my gosh. But he put it out in front of you and you're like, oh man, thanks for your hospitality. This guy's great. And he's making himself look really good, but all the while all he's concerned about is, I can't believe he's eating that. You get nothing from that. Because your heart is actually who you are. This is why Romans 10 talks about that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we're saved. This is why I have such issue with the idea of there is a pattern to how to get people saved, saying the right things and coming up with, you know, you've got to do it this way, and you've got to have, you can't just have people believe. Like, what do you mean believe? Like, you can't just believe. You got to say, you don't ever say anything until you believe it. Because if you're just saying it, hoping that's going to cause belief, not so sure. Again, not claiming anyone's saved or not saved because of those things. I just know that it's much bigger than what we make it out to be. I cannot remember the name of the revivalist years ago who he was known for literally sending people away from his altar call. He would ask people, you know, to receive Jesus. And people, actually, sometimes he wasn't even asking them to receive. People would just come to the altars wanting to receive Jesus, and he would send them away. He would say, you're not ready yet. And it wasn't out of like arrogance. It was out of it was out of an understanding of like, I haven't even got out of my mouth yet the fullness of who he is. So for you to think that you're going to be in covenant relationship with somebody who you don't even know anything about yet, you need to wait until you hear the fullness of who you're making covenant with. Do you get this? Listen, please hear what I'm saying with no arrogance or malice or anything. I do believe that the understanding and the fullness of God, we will always be learning and growing, so you'll never fully grasp it all. But I think before we really claim the relationship that we desire to have
with Him, it needs to be built in here. It needs to be built so much as a part, a building block of who you are, that when you speak out of that place, life flows. Do you remember when Jesus is at the well with the woman from Samaria and He tells her, if you knew who it was who was sitting here asking you for a drink, you would ask Me for a drink. Because if you drank from the waters that I have, you'd never thirst again. And she went, you've got nothing to draw from. Are you saying you're greater than our fathers who dug this well? And He's like, you don't understand. You're not getting it. This is what we're supposed to be drinking from, is the essence of who He is, so that it wells up inside of us and becomes a living spring that comes out of us. When we begin to see people get healed, not because we've put our hands on them, but because we've spoken it, so I believe we're going to start understanding who He fully is. And I believe that time is coming, but it has to be built in here. And this whole thing isn't all about healing. It isn't about money. It isn't about, it's about understanding who He is and giving us the ability to speak forth an atmospheric environmental change that shifts everything. I have to tell you one last story and then I'll wrap this up. I was tested in this, was it last week? Last week. I was sharing a little bit of this understanding of environment, atmosphere, atmospheric shift, and I ended up being with somebody who we got into a little bit of a disagreement, and he couldn't see that I was right for some reason, but I am playing, but it turned really strange really fast. And if you're anything like me, I don't respond well to being pushed. If I get pushed into a corner or pushed, I tend to push back. And I wasn't trying, at least, I wasn't trying to be mean, rude, foul, nothing. I just was like, I don't want to give up this point. I feel like this is important. And I, you know, anyway, it turned bad for a little bit. And eventually it turned back around and everything worked out good. But Sage and I, when we left, she goes, you know, it's kind of funny. She goes, you do know you were being tested in what you just preached, right? And I said, yeah, I do. And she said, you know, we really need to start learning how to more adequately or better step into what you're talking about, this, the atmospheric change that you literally, you have to stop feeling like you need to be right. You have to stop feeling like you need to get the last word, or you need, but release the kingdom in the situation. And don't worry about whether or not everything's perfectly the way you want it to be. Release the kingdom. Release the kingdom. Release the kingdom. But if I'm not in the kingdom when I'm in a conversation, I can't. I can't release anything but me. Blah, 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 blah. And it becomes just war. And it's warring me against you. And that's not going to do anybody any good. So sometimes we just need to stop. This is why Solomon talked about being quick to hear and slow to speak. Because you can stop yourself from saying the things that you want to say and actually turning yourself toward Him, becoming aware of Him and releasing the environment and the atmosphere of the kingdom by recognizing Him. And you can turn your office, you can turn your workplace, you can turn your family, you can turn it all toward the kingdom and watch things begin to shift. But it has to be built here. If it's not built here, you'll just spin your wheels. And you might have a little success here and there doing these type of things, But until it's built here, we can't draw from it. So let's see if there's anything in these notes you need to know. You don't need to know all that. So she said, once he lives in you, he can live through you. There are, I can't think of the reference right this second, but Jesus healed a woman. It was the woman he healed on the Sabbath day. And he was questioned, like the religious people were like, couldn't you wait till Monday? This is ridiculous. Why would you do that? And he said something that I found kind of strange. And he said she was a daughter of Abraham is why she was healed. And basically what he was saying was she was drawing on the covenant that Abraham made that went from generation to generation to generation. And that covenant entailed all things that were the essence of who God is, were released to her when she needed them, as she was calling on the one who could release those things. That's why they were released. And so understanding that the covenant we make, this is why it's so important to realize the covenant we make with God is not just for heaven one day, eternal life when we die. That's part of it, and that's wonderful, and that really would be enough, but that's not it. That's not all we have available. It's not all that we get inside the covenant. We get all things that are kingdom, all things that are encompassing God. They're released to us. So I want to have you all stand with me here. I believe that today, before we ever step into 20-1, before we ever move into this new season, this new time, this new era, that we need to have a greater and new understanding of the covenant that we're in. That I believe that if we're going to see things like elections shift or sicknesses like COVID go away and die, and people, not people die, but the sickness die, and seeing our country and other countries reopened and things shifting out of this, we have to become people who carry an atmospheric change that can release an atmospheric change. So I want to encourage you to change the way you think, change the way you pray, change the way you read, change the way you believe, and begin to turn your eyes completely on Him without regard to what is going on with you that you need fixed or changed or different. Begin to just shift your focus completely on Him. Don't pray like this: God, I need healing, and I know You're the healer, so would You release healing to me? You're still self-focused. Turn your focus completely on Him and just begin to learn from Him. Sit at His feet and all those things you need. He said, doesn't your Father know what you need before you ever ask? Turn your attention, your focus, your time to Him, and change how you're praying from God, I need, to God, You are. God, You are. You are everything. You're amazing. You're my all in all. You're my groom. You're my love. You're my healer. You're my everything. Even if you don't need healing, He's still the healer. Turn your attention to who He is and allow that to begin to flow to everything else that maybe you need or maybe you don't need yet, but one day you will. And as you carry that, you can release it to other people. So, Father, I just pray right now over every person within the sound of my voice, God, that we would get this understanding deep inside of us, that it would be a building block inside of us, that we would learn before we ever even speak or say a word, it would already be being built inside of us. Lord, let the things that we speak come from the abundance of the kingdom that's built in our hearts. Let us be people who only pray the things that we know we are praying the kingdom through. Let us be atmospheric changers. Let us be environmental shifters. Father, I pray that these things would be built inside of us and that the kingdom would be built strong inside each one of us. Lord, help us to change the way that we think and the way that we see and the way that we feel. That, Lord, we wouldn't just be saying idle words or words we learned from somebody else or words we heard were good to pray. But, Lord, we begin to release what you say, how you say it. That we would be like Jesus. That we only say what we hear the Father saying and we only do what we see the Father doing. I believe that those things can happen in our lives in greater ways. I know they are in some ways, but God, I believe that you want to release greater manifestation, greater level, and greater understanding. So today, I release that over you in the name of Jesus. I release a supernatural hunger over you in the name of Jesus, a desire for more things kingdom, a desire to know and understand him, a desire to step into all that he says that is you inside the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, God. I just release that word over everyone here. I release the 20-to-1 revelation right now. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you need prayer further, I just want to encourage you to, be cool. Find somebody near you. Ask them to pray for you. Thank you, Lord.